put some respect on my name.
Cap and J-Hood.
That's right. That's right. We bad.
Watch the show on Twitch. Follow ESPN 1000 Chicago. Stream the show on the ESPN Chicago app and on FM 100.3 HD2 and on ESPN 1000 Chicago. Now. David Kaplan and Jonathan Hood.
Good morning, everyone.
Bring them out. Bring them out. Woo! Bring them out. 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 Bring them out.
Welcome in to the Captain J-Hood Morning Show on ESPN 1000 and streaming on the ESPN Chicago app. With David Kaplan, Jonathan Hood with you. We got JC, we got Jay Moore, we got you for a three-hour ride on this Deal Breakers Thursday with open phone lines for you. 312-332-ESPN, 332-3776 is our phone number. Good morning, Twitch, twitch.tv/ESPN1000Chicago. Thanks so much for watching our show and all the shows here on ESPN 1000 and Cap. The Cubs were rained out yesterday in Cincinnati, but the White Sox came back and roaring back against San Francisco yesterday by the score of 7-3. Happy White Sox fan to your left here, because it was good to see the offense come to play. And I know that you and I are on the same page when it comes to Dylan Cease, who was a starter for the White Sox yesterday. We feel like maybe this will be his time to be a Cy Young. Maybe this will be his opportunity to be able to be on top of the heap, because even with him not being 100% yesterday, he still got the job done for the White Sox.
He was outstanding in terms of guttiness. He did not feel well. He did not have a good night's sleep. He was sick, and he battled. He had 5 walks, uncharacteristic for him.
Mm-hmm.
The only run he gave up was a solo. Other than that, he was dominant. 8 strikeouts. He said Red Bull and just trying to hydrate got him through 5 innings. Guy is a beast. His stuff is as good as it gets. And to pick up a W like that, I know the Giants aren't predicted for greatness, but they just beat your ass the other day.
Yes, they did.
And you needed that victory. You couldn't go out yesterday with your ace on the hill and lose to that outfit. I was impressed. I thought he really, really battled.
I think that it's become overdone. Every time someone gets sick, it's a flu game. There's only one flu game, and that's Michael Jordan, right? I mean, from what we understand, bad food, bad pizza, whatever it was in Utah, Michael still played and had that everlasting, memorable shot against Utah and Byron Russell.
I was at that game,
mm-hmm.
And it's one of the most amazing things I've ever seen. And you know who I was there with?
Mark Silverman.
That's right. We were rooming together on that trip. And
what happened there?
We had a good time.
Uh-huh.
We had a very good time.
Then what happened there?
And I don't know if Michael ate bad pizza or whatever. To watch him, as sick as he was, will himself to not only get on the court when most of us would have been in bed, scored 39 points for the King. Isn't that what Brent Musburger said?
That's exactly right.
39 for the King, and he slumped on the bench. Scotty's putting cold towels on him, and it was an incredible performance.
Yes.
Dylan wasn't at that level.
No, but we keep saying, okay, he was sick, but I guess maybe a possible flu game from him yesterday.
I executed in some big spots. In general, I'm not very happy with my execution, just because of the walks, but... Anytime I leave, the lead and give us a chance, it's pretty good. But 5 walks and only going 5 is a little disappointing. It's poor execution, and I'm making adjustments, really. I should have, I think with my slider especially, it was kind of the same miss. So I should have picked up on, maybe changing my sights a little bit better. But, it was okay. Yeah, I just had some cold like symptoms last night that kept me from getting some good sleep. But with caffeine, it's really not. You can get through something like that.
Okay, you and your flu game. So there's only one flu game, and that's Michael's.
Correct.
All right, so when nobody gets a flu game besides Michael Jordan. He's one of one when it comes to that. But something else happened in that ball game that we got to talk about, Captain. It's more of an overarching conversation. So Tim Anderson gets kicked out of the game yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
So in this situation, and by the way, Andrews had to slide over to shortstop because Tim Anderson got kicked out. Strange, right? After a strange strikeout against Logan Webb in the third inning, Anderson stepped out of the batter's box as Webb lobbed strike three to home plate. Webb says he called time and then he got back in the box. He was looking at me. I was looking at him. I started my windup and I wasn't trying to quick pitch him or anything, but he took it that way, I guess. So he's yelling at me from the dugout. I saw Tim yelling at Webb saying, I'm not talking to the umpire. I'm talking to this MF-er right here. That's what he saw. And then Anderson gets kicked out. This is a bigger topic than just what happened yesterday. Should Anderson be kicked out? Okay. Yes, by the letter of the law, based on the new rules of Major League Baseball. But you remember we had a caller yesterday that suggested, hey, Cap, maybe these players need to have one warning before that. They need to have a warning before they're going to get rung up for a strike. Or it'll be a ball because a pitcher is not ready. And you said, no, you've gone through everything in spring training. You don't get any more warnings because that was supposed to be your training ground, right?
Correct. There should be no, well, it's only the first 8, 9, 10 games. Let's not be too... No. They kicked out Machado the other day.
They did.
Shohei Ohtani, and I got thoughts on him in a second.
Yeah.
Jerks the Angels are. Ohtani's the first guy ever to get the violation in the game as a batter and as a pitcher. Mm-hmm. He got one for each yesterday.
Yes.
I love it. Kick Tim out, he'll learn to keep his mouth shut. Kick Machado out, he'll learn to be in the box when he's supposed to. Mm. Because if they're recommendations and not rules, yeah, whatever. Whatever. You know those speed traps you find on the highway?
Yes.
And after like 30 days, there isn't always a state trooper sitting there.
True.
Okay, they were just making a point. Now we can... Mm-hmm. No! The rule is you got to be addressing the pitcher with 8 seconds on the clock. And the pitcher's got to be toeing the rubber. Mm-hmm. And if he's not, violation. No warnings. I love it.
Yeah, I mean, they're just trying to let you know that you need to learn all this from spring training. And if not, and by the way, it's still early in the season, so there's going to be an adjustment. But for batters to get pissed and pitchers to be saying, hey, what's going on here? They know the rule. They just have to adhere to the rule. It's new. And by the time you get to May and June, hopefully everybody will be on the same page. Tim didn't want to talk about it after the game. And Grafal gave very limited feedback about what happened. But I guess my point is that it's a lot all at one time, Cap. It was Major League Baseball folding in the face of public opinion saying that the games are too long. In 2023, when we're so fast and we got to go here or there, or our minds are limited on what we want to do from minute to minute, you know, to me, as someone who has patience, I don't mind the ball game the way it was. Now, mm-hmm. Going back to the shifting, though, I thought that that was a little much because the ball wasn't getting through. That was my issue. Having the second baseman playing short right, like, oh, okay, what are we doing here? Are we not trying to get offense going? It was, I think the batting average was 250 last year in Major League Baseball. Mm-hmm. That's not going to get it done.
No.
That brings nobody to the ballpark.
These are the best hitters in the world.
250 average?
Oh, I used to hate the Cubs, you know, when they were really going for it.
Yeah.
They'd get the first two guys on, and here's Rizzo.
Mm-hmm.
And he'd smoke one up the middle, and there's two guys. I'm like, what?
Right.
Get him over where he belongs at third base, and it's short. Well, they've done that.
I like it now, the defense that we see now. That's what I like. But as far as the rest of baseball, I had no problem with it. Now you're starting to see these gems. An hour 57 game, hour 59 game. We're getting games that are under 2 hours and 30 minutes, which is fine. It doesn't bother me, but baseball was fine the way it was, for the most part, for me. But here's the thing, though. I'll always still love the sport.
Because you and I were raised by dads who that was their deal.
Yeah.
My dad hated that my brother was a Sox fan and I was a Cubs fan.
Mm-hmm.
The jerseys say Chicago. Why can't you root for both teams?
You don't understand, Dad.
No.
You don't get it.
When you're born here, your birth certificate is stamped Cubs if you live north and White Sox if you live Dad. He said, okay, you could have a favorite, but can't you root for the other? Not even in the same league. Now I'm more mature, and I am that guy.
Yes.
Oh, I've become my dad.
Mm-hmm.
That all said, the game needed to be fixed so that my kids aren't going to sit down and watch a 3-hour and 42-minute ball game with a lot of shifting and all the other stuff.
Yes.
So,
yes.
And I love the rules changes. And so I wrote down this comment.
Okay.
If these new changes fix baseball, Theo Epstein, who spearheaded all of this, will go down as the greatest executive in the history of American sports. He saved two iconic franchises, Boston and the Cubbies. But his greatest contribution will be his ability to connect with both sides. He can bring both sides of a discussion together, management and the players. His role in this new baseball is vitally important. He is the GOAT. The most important thing he did, great for Cub fans, great for Red Sox, he's saving an entire sport that was the national pastime.
So what's interesting about that is that before the season, you and I talked to Theo Epstein. We interviewed him.
We did.
And I don't think I grilled him, but I was asking him, because he's in Major League Baseball, you sure this won't change on May 1st? We've heard about these changes for years.
What I thought was a great question.
Well, I mean, Cap, I mean, it's just, to me, it was the obvious question because we've heard this for years of, well, Major League Baseball, we're going to have to be a little faster and we're going to make some changes and we're going to, and I'd say, okay, Theo, how's this any different than what we've heard in the past? He goes, oh, no, we're going to adhere to the rules. There'll be a clock in every ballpark, and we're going to make sure that it's faster. And even after our conversation, I go, okay, we'll see. And now we're seeing it. And again, it's still early, but this is not going to turn back the other way, Cap, because those clocks are right there. You can't turn those clocks off. This is the new age of Major League Baseball. This is it.
Well, it's like Justin Fields going up to the line, and you see the play clock is going down. And it goes down. Ah, you know what? He was close. Let him have it. No.
Not in baseball.
5-yard penalty. Delay a game. One offense. 5-yard penalty. Replay second down. That's a rule.
Yeah.
And that's how they should treat it in baseball. Rule.
But what about Tim Anderson, though? He got ejected yesterday. You feel like it was justified, right? He should have been.
First of all, you can't argue balls and strikes. That's a rule. A couple of chirps, didn't like it, then got to the dugout, and he's yelling out to the pitcher, Logan Webb, because he thought he got quick pitch.
Yes.
After the game, Logan Webb said, I wasn't quick pitching him. Not at all. And I didn't think he should have been kicked out. If you're going to bark out and drop an MF, whether you said it to the umpire or about the player on the mound, done. You're not the show.
Yeah.
When you're playing, you are, not the nonsense in the dugout.
So we're wondering your thoughts about some of the changes in Major League Baseball, including Tim Anderson's ejection. If you watched or listened here at ESPN 1000, was it justified? 312-332-ESPN, 332-3776, our phone number. Your calls on this and more next on Cap and Jay Hood.
Checkmate 1-6, immediate suppression on target.
That's why I see him in my shot.
Shot or no shot with Captain J-Hood on ESPN 1000 and the ESPN Chicago app.
That's why I see him in my shot.
Good morning and welcome in to the Captain J-Hood Morning Show on ESPN 1000 and streaming on the ESPN Chicago app. With David Kaplan, Jonathan Hood with you. Now time for Shot or No Shot, brought to you by
Club Hawthorne and the Club Hawthorne mobile wagering app. We got three more Derby prep races this weekend. I'll be taping the horse racing show for the Hawthorne folks with the great Jim Miller today out at the track. And if you bet sports, it's the Points Bet Sportsbook at Hawthorne Racecourse, or download the app. We say good morning to Jake Cantu.
Good morning, y'all. How y'all doing?
JC, good, man. What's happening?
I think I want to happen with the Bears today in the first question. In a recent Pro Football Focus mock draft, they have the Bears selecting an offensive lineman, but it's neither Peter Skoronski or Paris Johnson Jr. It's Tennessee's tackle Darnell Wright. The mock draft had Darnell Wright as the first offensive lineman taken off the board. So shot or no shot, you would be shocked if Wright was selected by the Bears at 9 before Skoronski or Johnson.
What do you think?
They had Tyree Wilson in yesterday. They had Jalen Carter in the other day. They're going to get a bunch more guys in before this draft. I'm going to say no shot.
I'll say no shot to it as well. And JC, come in and get your condom, please. Come on.
Excuse me?
Come in here and get your condom.
Excuse me?
Popping his peas. Pardon the expression.
Oh, his microphone windscreen.
No, his condom is as I just. No, his condom.
Wow.
Got to have a condom. Got to be. You got to practice safe broadcasting. You can hear him popping his peas. Can't have that.
That's why we have a windscreen on our.
We have a condom. You know? That's what it was. Yes.
Right.
His mic condom. Tell him, Jay Moore.
Got to get the lube ready.
All right, that's what gosh. I said.
Wow, right, we've jumped the track.
Just a second. JC, what would you say to that question? We say no shot. What do you think? I mean, again, as we always say on the show, the Bears are in need of a lot. Offensive line, defensive line help. What would you say?
Look, there's so many directions, right, that this team can go. But at the same time, too, they need protection.
Yeah.
You know, they need protection.
Yes,
but
as you do.
I would be shocked if Darnell Wright was picked that early. That guy's ready to be picked later on in the first round. You got to go either one of those two guys, Skoronski or Johnson, if you are going to get protection in the front.
What about Broderick Jones if you're taking an offensive lineman?
Also.
Yeah. From Georgia, another good player. I keep telling you, the guy I like, they compare him to Khalil Mack or Hassan Reddick, is Nolan Smith, University of Georgia. He was the number one recruit in the country. Number one when he came out of IMG Academy in Florida. He is a leader. He is a cornerstone piece. And if we don't take him at 9, I think he's going 10, maybe, to the Eagles.
I'm so proud to see my team in the conversation more times than not for difference-making talent, time and time again. Ah, it's unbelievable.
It's the best program in the country.
Let me tell you something right now. Wow. Never thought we'd get here, but here we are.
Here we are.
All right, JC, what else do we have?
Let's move on to the Bulls. We mentioned Carlick Jones a little bit. Chicago Bulls guard was named the 2022-23 Kia NBA G League Most Valuable Player for his play with the Windy City Bulls. He earned the honor and a vote by the league. 30 head coaches and general managers had. Shot or no shot, the Bulls should take a look and elevate him next season.
Oh, it's a shot.
Yeah, he'll go to camp, and he's had a good G League season. I still need to see him take the next step.
It's a shot. It's unfortunate, and I've worked with the Windy City Bulls. I worked with them for 3 years, 3 seasons.
They love you out there. Joe DiGiacomo and the guys, they love you.
I had fun doing their radio broadcast. I was always dismayed, especially under Gar and Pax, why the Bulls did not utilize the G League more. San Antonio does a great job with that. Toronto does a great job with that. Other teams, the Bucks, I think, at times do a really good job of utilizing their G League players. It's supposed to be a training ground for the next level. They're in the G League to get time so you can see what they can do on the floor. They can work out the kinks. And I think that for any good NBA coach, and Pop has always been good with this with San Antonio, all right, give me your best 7 minutes out there, okay? We're going to give you 7 to 10 minutes. Give me your best defense. Don't worry about shooting the ball. We got 4 other guys. But I need you to get out there and rebound. And okay, coach, I could do that. I like that. The Bulls don't do either. Maybe it's based on talent or whatever it is, but I like for them to utilize their G League more. But give them playing time. Don't let them just sit. Jay Moore.
I watched some of his tape yesterday. He kind of reminds me of a young Kyrie Irving, if you look at him.
Ooh. That means really young.
That means great handles.
Yeah.
The ability to get to the basket.
Absolutely.
Yeah. That's. I think that the Bulls always need some new flavor. They need shooting. But, I mean, I like for them to utilize it more.
Yeah. Max Strus, he'll be a free agent. He's a local kid, went to Lewis and DePaul. He's going to get paid big leaving the Heat.
All he does is shoot the basketball.
That's all I want.
And make shots, yes.
I need like 3 of those.
Yeah.
He was on the Bulls, though, wasn't he?
He was. And Brain Trust over there took the job and let him go. Didn't even sign him.
Yeah, I called his games. I know how deadly he is. I just love the story. I just love the story. Lewis University in Joliet goes to DePaul.
Lights it up.
Goes to the G League Bulls. Plays for the Bulls a little bit, a cup of coffee, now with Miami in the rotation.
Well, he tore his ACL here.
Mm-hmm.
So he's out. They change front office. They're like, yeah, you're out. Gone. Miami, oh, you can come rehab down here. Now the guy's banging shots all over the court. He's going to get paid big. Big.
JC.
We talked about it a little bit last segment, but I wanted to do a shot or no shot on it. The Bulls officially locked in the 10th seed, as we mentioned. And Billy Donovan said last night he will decide with the medical staff whether he will rest LaVine, DeRozan, Vucevic, the big three, for Friday's game against the Mavericks. So shot or no shot, the last thing Donovan needs to do is rest the big three, and they need to play out these two games fully, 100%.
Okay, well, from my standpoint, I think it's just limited minutes. That's what I'm looking at. The one thing I could say, and maybe it kind of speaks to where the Bulls are one loss record wise, Cap, is that we haven't heard a lot about time off and load management and not playing back to backs. This team's playing for the most part. These guys are playing a lot of games.
I'm not telling you that they are not good guys and that 9 times out of 10 they really are landing on the. It's a poorly constructed roster.
So to JC's question, how would you handle it? Would they not play the Detroit game? Would they not play the Dallas game? We got two games left.
So I would get my guys in a room individually, each one in the room with me. I'm the head coach. DeMar, you've been around this game a long time. Tell me how you want to handle this. Coach, I'm going to sit Friday and I want to play like 20 minutes on Sunday. Okay, you got it. Zach, I'd like to take both days off, or I want to play both games. Okay. You guys are the vets. I need you ready for Wednesday. What's the best way to have your body at maximum efficiency? Vooch, same deal. Mm-hmm. I'm letting them talk, to, like Billy said, to the medical staff. We played it.
Yep.
That's how I would handle it.
See what DeMar DeRozan says.
I always believe if you got a chance, you got a way. And we got a chance, and we just got to make a way. You got to pack with the understanding that if you win, we got to go somewhere else and compete for another game. That's where it starts. You know, like I said, me playing in a playing game, it was the first feeling like, you know, you got to pack for a couple days. And, you know, it's kind of like that unknowing. And you want to make sure you make that luggage useful instead of just going back home. So I think everybody going to feel it, you know, packing your bag, understanding that, you know, we just not going to play one game.
Yeah, so he's ready to go. I think if you asked him if you want to play, he'd want to play both games.
I don't think so.
That's the lead. I mean, if you asked him, honestly.
I think if you privately sat him down, he would tell you, give me Friday off and let me play a little bit on Sunday, and I'll be ready to go.
His
body has got to be just throbbing, beaten up.
Yeah, probably so.
It's harsh, but with the effort they put, do they deserve to be rested?
Well, I'm not telling you that they... Yes, you got to keep your eye on the bigger picture. They're probably not making a run, but they're going into a play-in where it's one and done. Yes, they didn't dog it. They just... You got to be more locked in. Now, again, I'm not playing 4 games in 7 days for 6 months. I'm a stupid radio host. That's a fact. That's just true.
I understand that.
We can all sit in here, whether it's you, me, Carm, Yerk, Waddle, Sylvie, Black Up, Down. We can scream to the high heavens what we think should happen.
Mm-hmm.
None of us are playing in an NBA game 4 times a week.
Correct.
And know your body's beaten up, your knees are killing you, whatever you're taking to get on the court. Yes, I'm letting them drive the bus on that decision.
I will just tell you, Jay Moore, that I think that DeMar DeRozan's ready, but, I mean, at least 3 or 4 times he's concerned about how many times he had to pack. I think he's concerned about the clothes that he's going to pack more so than the basketball team. I'm very concerned about that. He's concerned about how many times he's going to pack. Like, doesn't matter. Just play. Wear the same stuff.
But if you're going to Toronto for a game on Wednesday,
yes,
you're not coming home.
Yeah.
Now, you're a basketball player. Put some sweats on.
Yes.
Throw 2 uniforms in your bag, which the equipment guy takes care of for you.
Mm-hmm.
Your toiletries, and let's go.
It's the best. Basketball players, they have it the best. Wear the same sweats, just a team outfit, and you're
I think good. Back to the 80s awesome. When we would travel as a team.
Yeah.
And we would have them... You need a sport coat to fly on the plane. We're going to represent the universe.
That's right.
Come on, man. I got a guy who's 6'9".
Uncomfortable.
Folding into a coach seat.
Yeah.
Let him be comfortable.
All right, JC, you got one more for us?
Yes, sir. The 2023 Masters is underway from Augusta National. It's on behind you, hoodie, on the TV. Tiger Woods aims to make the cut for a 23rd straight time. He hasn't missed a Masters cut since 1996. The 47-year-old has said his mobility is not where he'd like it to be ahead of the tournament. So, shot or no shot, the streak ends this year and Tiger misses the cut.
No shot. In. No shot. You never doubt the heart of a champion. Rudy Samjanovic. Never.
I am going to say there's a shot. This is his...
Why would you do that?
This is... It's a tough course to play, and he is still recovering from the effects. He's talked about how hard it is on his body at times from that car accident. I hope he makes it, because to have Tiger in it on Sunday would be amazing.
Red shirt, ready to go. Tiger.
How about if it's Tiger Red against Rory coming down the back nine on Sunday?
Great television.
Oh, my goodness.
Glorious HD television.
I just don't think that's going to happen.
Why?
Because I think his body is telling him,
you know what?
Hey, man, we'll let you hobble around the course a little more, but no, you're not winning again.
You're a dream killer. He's one of the greatest of all time.
I didn't say he wasn't.
I said he's one of the greatest of all time.
And I agree with that.
And you want him out.
Ray Charles could tell you he's one of the greatest of all time. I don't mean Ray is. Tiger is.
Oh, I was going to say. If he told you, that would be muffled.
Yes. Wow.
All that dirt.
What'd you say down there?
all that dirt. It'd be very difficult for him to get that out.
Spit that worm out.
Swaying his head back and forth, trying to get the dirt off. All right, we will go around the National Football League. Hey, Bears fans, we have another angle for you. Cap has another angle for you, the Bears fan, that's coming up next. Deal Breakers at 8:35. All part of the mix on...
Welcome back to Cap and J-Hood Experience. Weekdays from 7 to 10 on Chicago's Home for Sports, ESPN Chicago.
Nick Foles sucks. He sucks.
I'm just a fan. I'm not a football evaluator.
I love the Green Bay Packers.
The guy is drunk, but there he goes.
This is not Detroit, man. This is the Super Bowl.
I want winners. He starts to come and he pulls out.
This is a really thickly built guy.
I mean... What's the answer you're looking for on these things here?
Time to go around the National Football League right here on Cap and Jay Hood on ESPN 1000 and the ESPN Chicago app. Still to come, Deal Breakers. We do it every Thursday at 8:35. Let's start with you, Cap. We're going to get to JC in a second, but you have an idea for the Chicago Bears in this first round of the draft, something that they could do.
Well, Eric DaCosta.
Yep.
Who is the general manager of the Baltimore Ravens, has done a very, very good job there. Eric DaCosta said yesterday, you have it on your board, I want everyone to hear this, they're in this contract squabble with Lamar Jackson, who may end up going somewhere else. Here's what he had to say about this year's draft.
All right.
Well, I think, Stan, we've done that 9 times in the last 4 years. So, you know, I think the chances for us to be able to do it are pretty decent. Of course, if we're in love with somebody while we're on the clock, we're going to make the pick. You know, we always have to gauge that. You know, how strong do we feel about the prospect who's available versus a chance to go back and get additional picks. And sometimes you get lucky in that there's a guy that you might really want. You make the tough decision to trade back and you can still get him. It happens more than you think. Not all the time, though, of course. So we have to look at that. We have to look at the capital that we can get by trading back. And we'll make the best decision we can.
Yeah, Eric DaCosta on adding more picks. And then he was asked.
I mean, I'd have to say yes because.
He was asked, would you take a quarterback at 22?
I mean, I'd have to say yes because we have quarterbacks in our top 31. So just based on that alone, simple math, I would have to say yes.
Now, how does that relate to the Bears?
Well, there's a lot of speculation that he would consider trading up if the right quarterback is still on the board. He's not going to pay the capital to go from 22 to 3. Mm-hmm. But if there's someone there at 9, 10, 11, like the Bears did a couple years ago with Justin, he absolutely would look at that. So my question to you is, if he calls you, you're running the Bears. Hey, I want whoever it is, Will Levis. He's still on the board at 9. Mm-hmm. And I'll give you... my 2024 and 2025 number one picks. Moving up. I want Will Levis. because he knows he's not getting Lamar re-signed. Mm-hmm. Maybe he's tagging him for a year. Maybe he's gone. Would you do it? And I would absolutely consider that. Because I have enough capital that I can go back up if there's somebody I really, really want. I'm going to have three number one picks in the 24 draft and a minimum of two number one picks in the 25 draft. Plus the second round pick from Carolina in 25. Sign me up.
Trying to build this like Detroit.
I'm trying to build this like whoever that has a ton of top-level talent. Now I got to hit on the picks.
Mm-hmm.
He hasn't proven he can do that yet. He hasn't had a number one pick.
Right.
But the more darts you throw in the first round, the better chances you're adding good players.
It's something I would consider for sure. But again, for some impatient Bears fans, they want to get this turn quickly. That's not how that works. Not this up. The Bears are not going to make the playoffs this upcoming season. At least I don't believe so.
I don't either.
So it's really that you're shooting for 25 for me to get in the postseason.
If you're in the hunt in 24, great. But in 2025, if I told you all of a sudden you picked this year, got a good player, got two second rounders, got good players, and next year had three number one picks and added three really impactful players, and Justin's the guy?
Yeah.
Oh, baby, you're set up for a hell of a run.
Let me restate that. 23 for this upcoming season, 23, I don't expect the Bears to make the playoffs. 24, I expect them to be in the postseason. That's what I mean.
Yeah, I expect them contending for the postseason 24, having a chance to make some kind of a run starting in 25.
Yeah.
That's me.
I expect them in 24 to be hovering in there. That should Detroit, I still think, will be good by the time we get to 24. Minnesota, possibly the same. But the Bears should be there, Cap. In that conference, I expect them in 24 to get there. I was a year too late on that, but 24 is my expectation. JC, do you have more?
Yeah, I do. I wanted to go to the Panthers. Drew Rosenhaus was making his rounds, and he was on the Pat McAfee show yesterday. He mentioned the Bears a little bit in the DJ Moore situation. And here's what he had to say about the Panthers letting DJ Moore go.
DJ Moore went from the Panthers to the Bears as part of the trade for the number one overall pick. It happened very quickly. We found out at the same time the Panthers were in tears, literally, when they called DJ. It was emotional for them. DJ was fine with it because, you know, when a team trades for you, they invest capital in you. And that means you're more valuable. That means you're going to get a new contract sooner.
So hearing that just makes me think, it makes me feel, I was already feeling 10 times better what Ryan Poles did.
Mm-hmm.
But hearing how valuable DJ Moore was to the Panthers and that, you know, the Panthers front office was basically in tears makes me feel even better about the deal and about the player that you're going to get in your locker room next year with Justin Fields.
Well, you got a soft front office, soft, sensitive front office with the Panthers. What are you crying for?
Let me tell you something.
Nobody told you to let him go.
JC, they were being kind. They like him. They were not sobbing when they hung up the phone. They said, you saw the quote from the owner. I don't think we paid that big a price to go up and get number one, to be honest with you.
Okay.
If they get the pick right.
Okay.
I don't think they were in tears. The humans, yeah, great kid. We drafted him. We love you. We paid you. Good luck. We're on to the next thing. We need a quarterback.
Yes.
Let's go to dinner.
I want to hear from the Panthers front office, though, and what Rosenhaus had to say. I'd like to see the other side of that. We were not crying. We liked the... We like the athlete, but we're not in tears, crying.
Right.
Stop. Rosenhaus.
Not even a tear?
No.
Not a little teardrop?
Listen, I feel good. No matter what Panthers fans feel, all three of them, I don't care how Panthers fans feel. I know that the Bears have an ace as a wide receiver on this team. The best since Johnny Morris.
Wow.
And Marty Booker.
Moose and Mom.
We talk about trying to find a prime quarterback. Cap, the wide receiver spot's been also dry for a long time as well.
Yes.
A big long time.
Big time.
How do you think Marty Booker would fare in today's NFL? Where do you think, what spot would he be?
Very average.
I mean, seriously.
Yeah.
But this is what you had, you know?
It's really amazing how pathetic we've been as an offensive unit for 30 years.
Hey, man. Hey, when you're running back you and linebacker you, this is what it looks like. It is.
It's a joke.
Ohio State. That's who we are. Like running.
We just don't get enough five stars.
No, exactly right. JC, give us another.
Cam Newton revealed this week that he's willing to play backup in the NFL. There's no role for Cam Newton to come back in the NFL, right?
Why not?
If he would have been signed already if he was welcomed back in the NFL. He did a pro day the other week and was missing throws left and right. I just can't see Cam Newton coming back to the NFL.
Well, this is when I step in, Cap, and say that Cam Newton's been blackballed from the league. But I can't say that. What I could say is that the Cam Newton that we saw with Carolina was beat up big time. His body, it was Big Ben in a lot of ways, like Roethlisberger. He was a running back and a quarterback. He would do so many different things for the Panthers that his body was beat up. Now, I don't know how he feels now, but I'm sure the talent evaluators would say, do we get the same Cam Newton? Do we get a good, strong arm from Newton? Can he still play the position? He just was beaten so much, man. I mean, this is a guy here that would not get calls because he would run with a football. Physical
correct.
Player.
Correct. And that's my big fear about Justin, and he's not as big as Cam Newton. Cam was a freak size-wise and athleticism. That's my big fear. Yes, the Bears played tough when he ran the ball. That's unsustainable. If you can't stand in the pocket, process, and have it out in 2.5 seconds, what are we doing?
Right.
It's just a fact.
You're going to find out pretty quickly, won't you?
You will know.
Now that you have weapons, and again, it's all about being cohesive, but at least on the depth chart, on paper, you have weapons. He doesn't have to necessarily run with the football a million times like he did last year.
Correct.
Offensive line should be improved this upcoming season.
Correct.
Now what are you going to do offensively? Can you get back there in the pocket and make a difference? Going to find out, won't we?
We are going to find out.
So as far as Cam Newton is concerned, JC, I think everybody around the league looks and says, you took a lot of punishment. Can you stay healthy? And then, like, how big is he now? Is he like he was as a player? Or is he, I don't know. And that's our look around the National Football League right here on ESPN 1000 and the ESPN Chicago app. Coming up, oh, Cap, you know, it's Thursday, so you know what that means.
Deal Breakers. I love this segment. Love it.
It's coming up next. Well, Cap
Mrs. Carcino does. One of our finalists.
Never mind about Mrs. Carcino. Leave her alone.
Take that.
Cap and Jay Hood, weekday mornings at 7.
Here's today's headlines with Cap and Jay Hood.
Good morning, Chicago. The Masters are taking place right now, and Scott Stallings, the American, is leading with one under par, tied with Matthew McClain. He also is one under par, and Kevin Kinsner also one under par at the Masters. The White Sox defeated the Giants by a score of 7-3. Dylan Cease recorded 8 strikeouts in 5 innings pitched and only allowed 1 run in his first victory. Elvis Andrews recorded his 2,000th hit. The White Sox play against the Giants today. That'll be a 1-10 start right here on the home of the White Sox, ESPN 1000. The Cubs game against the Reds was postponed due to rain. The game will be rescheduled to a later date in September. The Cubs have the day off before welcoming the Texas Rangers for a weekend series. The Bulls fell to the number one seed in the East, the Milwaukee Bucks 105-92. The Bulls are officially locked into the 10th seed and have 2 games left remaining in the regular season. Jay Moore.
You're listening to Cap and Jay Hood. Follow the show on Instagram at the Catman and at IGJ Hood. This is ESPN Chicago, Chicago's home for sports.
Captain Jay Hood, weekday mornings at 7 here on ESPN 1000 and streaming on the ESPN Chicago app. I'll let you know that we will crosstalk with Bleck and Abdallah coming up at 10 o'clock, followed by Carmen and Yurko. They'll be in at 12, leading you into White Sox baseball against the Giants. That's a 1:05 start right here on the home of the Sox, ESPN 1000. After the game, will be Waddle and Sylvie. Bears Weekly with Jeff Joniak coming up at 6, Tyler Aki at 7, and then, of course, Freddie and Fitzsimmons at 8, all part of the mix right here on ESPN 1000. Now time for Deal Breakers.
We all have to make choices in sports and in life. It could be running on third down.
You ran the same third down situation, and you ran the same play twice. You're getting paid for that.
I cannot believe the call.
Or managing finances.
This country, you've got to make the money first.
Or it could be a deal breaker.
Time for Deal Breakers, our signature segment every Thursday here on Cap'n Jay Hood.
Love this segment. Let's go.
Here's Jake Cantu. JC?
All right, welcome to Jake's edition of Deal Breakers this morning.
Oh, boy. Now, you think this is going to be any different than the Shea Norling edition? You think it could be any different?
No,
I just think it will be done a little more tastefully.
Take that, Shay.
You find the lady, and you start to smash on the avocados. What do you do? Is this a deal breaker? Yes or no? I don't know about that. I don't know if that's going to be the same thing.
I like to think I'm pretty innocent, so you'll be the judge right now.
You're in a kiddie pool with a hot woman. Do you A, take her in the graph? We'll see how that works out. All right, JC, what do you have?
All right, our first deal breaker. You're in your mid-30s, and you visit your parents back home. Your mom tells you your style and clothes are trash. They suck. And that you should, that she would like to take you out shopping. So you're at a clothing store with your mom, gathering different shirts and jeans you would like to try on. You tell her you're going to the fitting room, but she is adamant about helping you in the fitting room instead of waiting outside.
Oh.
Workers and everyone around you hears your mom insisting to help you change. How do you react?
How hot is she?
Oh, for heaven's sake.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, my God.
And is she a stepmom?
My God.
Oh, yeah.
No. Like, not your real mom. Is she your stepmom?
I don't. I think you heard what he said.
Your real mom.
Is
she hot? What kind of ass backwards thing is that?
I was thinking if she's a stepmom.
No, even then, that's not right. Could you keep your mind out of Pornhub just for a second? I mean, could you not do that? My God.
Just ask it.
Stepmom helps me undress.
Got stuck in the changing room.
Do you want to see? Mom, you want to see my underwear? Does it look right? Oh, yes. It looks great. Yeah, no, you don't want that, Cap. Stop it.
Go ahead. That'd be a deal breaker.
You look good, honey. Oh, you look so hot in those jeans. Oh, is it warm in here or is it just me? Stop!
Menopause.
Of course, yes, that's a deal breaker. She didn't keep her,
And the kids how old? 20 what?
30.
Mid-30s.
Keep your beak out of this.
Yeah, she needs to keep her beak out of the changing room.
Correct.
It's not a child.
That's a deal breaker.
Cap, it's not a... I mean, it might be her child, but it's not a child.
I agree.
Wait until I come out. When I come out, I hit the mirrors. I do the turn. What do you think? Right? You're going to help me adjust my belt? Pardon the expression? JC.
Wow.
All right. This is actually from a friend I got the idea from. You're looking at your photo album in your phone with your girlfriend of 6 months. You scroll past a picture of you and your ex, and you admit that you keep photos of you and your ex in your camera roll because they are part of memorable moments of your life.
Oh, my God.
She doesn't care and is not happy and pissed and wants you to delete them from your phone. Do you delete them or not?
Well, let's go back to what you said. Does she care or does she not care?
She cares.
She cares. Okay.
She's pissed.
Okay. She does care.
Okay, and the pictures are...
In the phone, the camera roll.
Right, but the pictures are...
Of the ex.
Of the ex.
You and your ex, yes.
But what are the pictures? Are they in compromising positions or just us in front of Buckingham Fountain?
They're smashing on the avocados.
No, I'm serious.
No, I'm serious.
What are the pictures of, JC?
It's up to you. They could be of you smashing. They could be of you eating at
the
dinner.
Park?
And then smashing?
Why does that bed needs WD-40? Help the bed! Yeah. For God's sakes! Get a screw in there! Well, that's the wrong metaphor. Go ahead.
Wow. I love this segment.
That's not what I meant.
They're part of memorable moments of your life. Leave it at that.
Well, if there's a picture of me and my ex and we were at Game 7 of the World Series together and the Cubs won, I'm not deleting the picture. Sorry. It's one of the great moments of my life. My Cubs won. I'm not deleting it. If it's a picture of me and my ex in an X-rated thing and we videoed it, yeah, that should be gone.
You sure?
No.
No. Memories of me screwing up my ex. I would say that, okay, from her standpoint, you can understand why that's a deal breaker. It's like, okay, listen, you're with me now, so why do you have pictures of your ex? Well, as I mean, I would have a problem with that if I'm her. He should put that in his own separate album. It should not be, you know, where you, hey, look at this picture. Flip, 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 flip. Look at this from 3 years ago.
Yeah.
Yeah, maybe your burner. Yeah, maybe, yes. Cap, yeah. I would say from her standpoint, you can understand why it's a deal breaker. Why is that so at the ready at his, on his phone? Can you just put that someplace else in the cloud?
Well, what do you mean at the ready? It's not the, if it's the wallpaper, that's a big problem.
Just saying. I mean, it's still in his camera roll, though, where he could just, in 2 seconds, with his thumb, flip, flip. She was hot, wasn't she? I'm with her now. Yeah, whatever. Seriously.
Well, you have a life before the person that you meet.
But if you could scroll and get to that picture quickly, then yes, that means he revisited it, like, you know, at some point.
Well, if you told me that you created a special album.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's in your favorites.
Yeah.
And you only got 20 pictures in there, and there's one of the new girl, like 11 of the ex.
Yeah.
That's an issue. Take them out of the favorite album. Leave them in the all photos.
That wouldn't work in your house today. You think it would work in your house today? It would not.
How many pictures right now do you have in your phone? Like, I have albums. Cap and Jay Hood, favorites, vacations when we went to Costa Rica, like all that.
Yeah.
But then I have one thing that says all photos. How many photos do you think I have in here right now?
Probably 1,500.
27,938.
Yeah, too much.
What about the photos on that terabyte you got?
Yeah, what about that?
You don't know about those.
Okay, well, I'm just saying.
So, like, my favorites are 847.
Yes. Those were your rock hard. What? What did I say wrong?
By the way, Mrs. Carcino just tweeted, yes, I am listening at the cabinet.
Okay, that's fine. That's fine.
Yeah, if you told me it's a cool picture that they were in front of the Eiffel Tower and it's like a once-in-a-lifetime trip, or they're Buckingham Fountain or at Game 7,
yeah, what's
I
that?
Got no problem with it.
What's that? Exactly.
No problem.
What fountain is that?
Buckingham
Fountain. Oh. So anyway, so...
Wow. Wow. So I don't have a problem. Again, if it is...
That's her problem.
A photo of, you know, her topless in my arm, yeah, that's a problem.
Cap, from her standpoint, if she's a jealous type, that's not a good thing. It's not. You want to make your significant other happy.
So, but I also had a life before my significant other.
Can I just tell you something out of all this conversation? Can I just tell you, I'm so glad that when I got married, that I'm married now, because any of my ex pictures, they're all Polaroids.
There was no iPhone.
There was no iPhone.
What year did you get married?
2000.
2000. I got married in 2004. There was no iPhone.
Right. So that's why I'm so glad that if there's any pictures, they're Polaroids. If anyone knows about it, it's Walgreens.
Correct.
Yeah. That's it.
Correct.
In this era, I've always told you, like, dating in this era, oh, my God.
Everything's in the cloud now, Hoodie.
Brother. Mm-mm. Nope. Nope. So glad I'm locked in.
Okay, so what if Michelle's going through some boxes in the garage this weekend?
Yeah. That'd be a first, but go ahead. She'd actually be doing something. Go ahead.
Opens up a box and there's a stack of Polaroids and there's...
Oh, man.
Like, some girl topless.
Yeah.
And, you know, you got your arm around. What?
I burned those in the 90s.
Those should be shredded and gone.
Yes. But my memory will still be strong, though.
Yeah,
The picture in my mind is still
pictures.
There. Correct. Oh, absolutely.
Correct.
Absolutely. It's like Jay Moore walking down the street, you know? Blinks one time, blinks another time, takes the mental picture. There's no cloud there.
Do we have one more quick, Jake?
We got two more coming up on the other side.
Okay. On Cap and Jay Hood.